Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
The U.S. Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa, Thomas Perriello, left for Eastern Africa on Thursday, a day after meeting with high-level officials of the Vatican. Pope Francis on Monday called for dialogue in the region, which has suffered instability for the past generation. Mr. Perriello visited Vatican Radio after his meetings in the Vatican and spoke with Charles Collins. In part one of the interview available on our website, he spoke about the situation in Burundi and the upcoming elections in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In part two, Mr. Perriello began by discussing the ongoing violence in the eastern regions of the Congo and what the United States is doing to try and bring peace to the area.
What about the situation in the east of the country? There have been peace efforts made to end the ongoing conflict there. However, there's a rebel attack on a UN helicopter just days ago. The integration efforts with the militia have been stymied a bit. How bad is the situation in the east of the country affecting the national situation in Congo?
Well, I think there's great frustration and disappointment among Congolese people in the east and also the international community that spent billions of dollars on this question, that we're still addressing some of these armed groups and the tremendous corrupt flow of minerals and financing that goes along with that. MONUSCO, the largest UN peacekeeping force in the world, is on the ground there. There's a tremendous amount of frustration that the government has been unwilling to cooperate on joint operations against longstanding root causes of instability like the FDLR, or at least maximizing the capacity for joint operations against groups like the ADF, NADU, and Beni that have committed terrible atrocities in the last 6 months against women and children in hospitals and other terrible acts. So there's a real deep desire to get these issues settled once and for all. For many in Congo, I think they believe that's connected to the issue of protecting the constitutional transition and the rule of law and good governance. But regardless, these civilians run the risk every day of violence, including a tremendous level of sexual and gender-based violence. President Kabila has taken some very promising steps to address rape and gender-based violence in the military. That needs to expand out more broadly in terms of rooting out these armed groups. It's not going to happen without joint operations and without addressing the governance failures in the east. And that's got to be not just a Congo response, but a regional response.
You mentioned a regional response. These problems, we look at Burundi, we look at what happened in Rwanda and the situation in Rwanda now, the situation in Congo. All these things are interrelated. The violence in the eastern part of Congo stemmed from violence in Rwanda and Burundi. The problems with the governments are also related to this. Is this something, is it a problem that has to be handled in together, or can it be handled in piecemeal solutions?
Well, one of the reasons, quite frankly, that President Obama created my position is because these issues are so regional in nature. We continue to have strong bilateral relationships, but things that what we know from the Great Lakes history is nothing stays entirely within borders or can be solved entirely within borders. So right now, the situation in Burundi reflects deep divides within the East African community in terms of how different countries see the conflict and where their alliances lie. And that means the solutions are also regional in nature. So we want to see that as an opportunity, which it is, for better economic integration and opportunities for trade routes and other things that can help to lift so many people out of extreme poverty. But we also see the downsides, which is their reverberations there. I think one of the many problems to your last question with allowing these armed groups to persist in the East is they remain like a cancerous cell there that can spread at any moment into a different direction. So we need to address those root causes, and some of that's going to take regional approaches.
What role is the United States taking? What can you do in particular to help with the region?
Well, the United States has made enormous investments, both financially and in terms of our human capacities, in protecting peace, stability, atrocity prevention, and constitutionalism in the region. Ultimately, we want to be partners with both the peoples of the region and the governments. Our most effective results come when we're working together towards a common goal. But we also have to draw certain lines when basic human rights are not protected. President Obama has spoken forcefully in Addis and elsewhere about the importance of constitutional term limits in particular, that when incumbents change the rules to stay in power, it's ultimately destabilizing. And transfers of power, no matter how scary they may seem, are often the turning point between whether a country is stuck in its past or defined by its future. That doesn't mean we can or want to dictate to other countries how that's going to play out. We give our best advice. And Burundi's a perfect example of that. I don't think there's anyone in the region who believes that Nkurunziza and Burundi wouldn't have been better off following the advice we gave a year ago, which is respect your constitution, respect Arusha. I don't think there are many leaders in the region who want to be Nkurunziza right now, who's under tremendous physical threat. They're bankrupt. They're facing all of these problems in the country. So frankly, what we laid out was our best advice for Burundi, and unfortunately, events have proven that. We continue to believe the same thing in DRC right now. We think that this is an amazing opportunity. This is a historic year for the people of Congo to see that first democratic transition of power, but also a huge opportunity for President Kabila. I think what we've seen is even leaders who, frankly, were not very impressive who left power on time left as heroes. And President Kabila has a very proud legacy that he can point to in many directions. And leaving power will be the crowning achievement there in the way it was for George Washington with our republic. So we continue to offer our best advice. In some cases, that comes with consequences, either greater investment where we see those constitutions being respected, and whether it's the sanctions we've imposed on individuals in Burundi or cuts in programs where we don't see that happening. Sure, we have to, as a sovereign nation, make our own decisions about where we're going to put our resources. But we want to be an ally in the region. We've invested massively in peacekeeping and atrocity prevention. We've tried to support tremendous economic development and poverty eradication efforts. But we believe fundamentally that where democracy is respected and the rule of law is respected, all those things are going to have a better chance to succeed. We'll continue to do so, and not just in partnership with the countries, but in third-party partnership with places like the Vatican, where our efforts reinforce each other, or the EU and the African Union and others.
That was the U.S. Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region of Africa, Thomas Perriello, speaking to Charles Collins.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.